All right, we are plugged in and ready to rumble. It's Sunday, the 14th of October, 2018, here in Sydney, Australia. You are listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. So lots to go through up there. You can also contact me through the website, check out social media, lots of podcasts there over at YouTube as well, and Reel.video. Lots and lots and lots to go through. I'm always posting, great articles up there, and there's lots of great original articles going up as well. So check it out, Jim West.
Yeah.
You're back in the hot seat. I have. Where have you been, man?
Well,
I haven't done a podcast for ages.
I've been in the deep state of mind.
You've been out in a field of green eating grapes with. Yeah. With a fiddle and nice wenches.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to take care of a practical part of life and trying to get away from the computer, actually, because of all the electrical radiation that these computer monitors give off. And so
I understand.
Part of my approach to that is to play guitar, the four-string guitar and an acoustic instrument, no electronics, And that's been sucking my mind. I've been like practicing 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, sometimes 6 hours a day. And I still sound like crap.
That's all right. Practice and practice. But yeah. Your work is so important, man. I just keep coming back to your work all the time. I did fix up the Harvoa Facebook page as well, which and just put a whole bunch of information up there. But
I appreciate it.
I keep trying to put out your info and your ultrasound info, and we've still got these mountains of brain dead trolls pushing the whole flu thing. And so I've been in some threads on social media there. I'll go through a little bit of that actually.
Oh, you know what I've been doing? I've been with Quora. The Quora is like a question and answer version.
That's really good.
Of yeah. YouTube without the video, it's all text, questions and answers. And I've been doing question and answers about polio and ultrasound, but I did one on 9/11, and that's where I got 30,000 hits,
You did well, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't even have my website tagged onto that, so it was like a waste. But it was very interesting, Anyway.
Yeah, well, your work's amazing. I said, I keep coming back to it, and your website's harvoa.org. But I'll put all the links up with the podcast anyway. But had some great emails. Saying that some people out there really like the podcasts I do with you and your work. I'm always hoping you're going to continue doing this. But it's a hard slog, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So. I only have so many opinions, and I run out of them. Pretty soon, I have no opinions.
So you got great books, though.
Yeah. Fortunately, they're in print.
Yeah. How are they going, the books?
They're just slogging along there. Not bad, it's I appreciate it because people are buying them. And when they put their money out, it's a cheap price. It's like the lowest price book on the internet practically. But the fact that they buy it means I know they're going to read it, and it means I know they're going to appreciate it. And it's not like, there's something about a little money which creates honesty, I used to hate money, but it's funny when you inject money into something, it does bring about another viewpoint of things,
It does. Yeah. Well, you're 50 Human Studies would do well, I would say. I always going back to that one.
Yeah, that's my best one.
Yeah, it's a pretty well-known book. 50 Human Studies in Utero.
Right.
Extreme Risk of Prenatal Ultrasound. I guess we're out here in the wilderness, aren't we, talking about ultrasound? I mean, I can't find much on it. even now, I talked to Janice Barcelo about radiation dangers, and we went through a large chunk of ultrasound information, talked about your work and her new book coming out on this. I'm in the threads all the time on social media and Facebook, trying to engage with people, get the info out. But there's a definite silence. When you're putting out, you know, the ultra, any kind of ultrasound information, because it's a hard thing, because you're getting a lot of pretty amazing, pretty impressive posts being put up online. Say, for example, from the World Mercury Project and John F. Kennedy. Is that the man?
RF Kennedy.
RFK, boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're putting out some amazing information, say, for example, in regards to the MMR vaccine and autism and things like that. And as I said, they're very impressive to read.
Yeah.
You know, and this kind of, they're talking about this, you know,
well, they have
autism and things like that.
But they have the vax film, you know, the amazing vax film is totally professional and an amazing film, you know.
It is. And you know what? I go through a lot of anti-vaccination stuff as well. I speak to a lot of people on the podcast about it because I'm interested in it. I mean, I wouldn't go near them. I wouldn't touch them. I think they're toxic. I think they're potentially lethal. And I don't think they do anything. I think they're just an absolute scam. And they're just it just means more money for the big pharmaceutical industry. I think
it's
all in their mind.
It's not about money necessarily. I mean, the pharmaceutical companies are making money, but they are more acting like propaganda dogs, you know. The whole process of selling people on the idea of vaccines and vaccinating them, and the whole process of the anti-vaccine thing, you know, it's like real, it's true, it is bad, and all that. But at the same time, it's a smoky war that's covering up the worst thing and the more real thing, which is, I argue, ultrasound.
But this is not being injected into any arguments. It's just the vaccination information in regards to certain vaccines causing autism, if we're just looking at that, or with certain health conditions in children, cancers or seizures or whatever. But it's like, I feel like now half the argument's missing, because the initial ultrasound thing is just not even in the pool. It's not being even debated. It's just not there. The ultrasound causation, it's not there. It's just solely the vaccine.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and
I talked to Janice Barcelo about that she said she thinks that they're all kind of working together, you know, and this, and that's what I kind of think as well, but we can't get anywhere with the ultrasound information. I don't know I've always said to you, and I know you probably think I'm nutty, but I always expected to see you up there on the big morning breakfast shows in America and all these big news shows and on Natural News and Alex Jones and everywhere. Here's Jim West talking about the ultrasound, but I don't know, man. You're in a hard hole, doing such deep books that you do and such deep, you know, work. And I can't seem to get it out to enough people. They just don't seem interested in it. They're solely looking at vaccines.
What's weird is that people who are well known for promoting the dangers of ultrasound, they won't mention my book. You know, I think they've maybe judged that there's a certain level of safe political threshold on this topic, and they don't want to push it any farther. You know what I mean? And my book pushes it farther, a lot farther. It pushes it all the way, you know? And so my book is politically incorrect because it's more true, you know? And so they, you know, there's a lot of famous people out there who are doctors and stuff that have been against ultrasound, but they're not mentioning this book. They're not even stealing my book. Usually there's people who are plagiarizing the book and stuff by this time.
That's particularly true with your DDT polio book.
Right.
That's... You know, I've been pushing that a lot lately, and you just see so much stuff online that's all from your work.
Right.
And not giving credit. Or some do, and I've sent them to you, and we've tried to fix them up and everything. But I've been, you know, searching online far and wide, looking at the, DDT, pesticides and polio information, and it seems to all come from your work.
It all does. There's no way it can't.
That's amazing.
I'm the funnel. I'm the bridge of bringing this to the present generation. You know, there is earlier work, but it was unreferenced, buried, arcane work because it was so politically incorrect that they couldn't get a citation in another work, so they're basically unknown. You know, but I dug them out. You know. So there really can't. There's nothing that can be said about polio DDT without me being the source, you know. So anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not trying to be a hog. It just happens to be the way it is, you know. And I think I don't like the plagiarizers because they're usually shallow. They're all a little bit shallow, and they're afraid to take it or unequipped, unable to take it to the next step, which is that there probably is no such thing as a polio virus. You know, it's just a totally imaginary industrial construct, just like there really were no airplanes in 9/11, you know. See, but anyway, it's unnecessary. You don't need a polio virus because people are gullible enough. You know,
it's I'll come back to ultrasound in a minute, but yeah, I was on social media recently. There was this big ABC article I sent it to you. The article was on a billboard that's been put up, and it basically says, who's healthier, vaccinated or unvaccinated kids? That's all it says. It doesn't attack anyone. It's non-violent or sexual of any nature or anything. It just says, vaccinated versus unvaccinated, who's healthier? We were talking about putting up an ultrasound billboard, but alerting people to the dangers of that. But anyway, it's not about so much vaccines and anti-vax stuff and all this and what's, who's healthier, although we know the answer to that. But the reason why I got into it is because there's politicians and people wanting to take the sign down, which is a freedom of speech
Who
issue.
Put it up?
And now...
Who put it up?
The AVN. Australian Vaccination Skeptics Network, run by Meryl Dorey. I spoke to her. It's a network here in Australia. They've got a bit of reach. They've just put up this sign, and it's caused it's just smashed this hornet's nest, you know, and all the politicians and so-called health ministers are wetting their panties, Jim, over this.
Huh.
But the papers brought out a, what would you call it, to vote. They're asking you, is this free speech or is it fear speech? So they've injected the fear speech in there. but according to them, 34% think that it's to vote on the ABC page on Facebook, 34% think it's free speech and 66% think it's fear speech. So they think putting a sign up on a billboard asking who's healthier, vaccinated or unvaccinated, is fear speech.
What speech?
But I wouldn't trust the fear.
Oh, fear speech.
They're saying by putting a vaccine billboard up, it's putting out fear. And
well, fear, that's what runs the whole medical system.
I know, but...
It's all about fear. What do you think vaccines are all about? They're responding to the fear of viruses,
right.
The fear of the polio virus, you know.
That's right. And when I went on the thread just to talk here, you're getting all of these people in there pushing the flu and polio thing. And usually I would, before getting into your work and talking to John Rappaport and stuff about this, I would be going a different way. But on this thread, I just went a completely different way, just asking the simple facts like you always do, because you got these people up there pushing this flu virus thing, but without any evidence or anything to back up anything that they're saying.
Yeah.
And so one person, Adrian Adamson, got the shits with me with what I was saying or whatever. There's too much on here to go through. But he sends me this article on there. 80,000 people died of the flu last winter in the US. So they're saying the US government estimates that 80,000 Americans died of the flu and its complications last winter. The highest death toll in at least four decades.
Yeah.
So this is an article from CNBC. And then I went through the article. There's no there's no links or anything that you can go and check out that's true. Well, you know, there's no there's nothing here. It's just telling you 80,000 people died. And I'm like,
yeah, well,
if you're going to put this stuff up, you need to back it up and show me something else here.
John Rappaport has ripped that apart, all those claims, because he says for
that's
one
right.
He says they never actually formally determine whether there's a virus present or not. They never, you know, they always make these claims, but they never really determine if it's even the flu. Even in their own terms, they never really do a test.
It was respiratory flu samples taken from people, and they came back, there was no presence of any flu virus, and this was nearly 50% of the cases.
Yeah, yeah.
And look here, it says
that assumes the flu virus is a real thing and not just a imaginary propaganda icon, you know.
That's what I'm saying. And these people are coming into these huge threads on a news network page in Australia, and they're putting up this stuff about 80,000 people dying of the flu in America, right?
Yep.
And this is on their page. And then here, down here, they say CDC officials do not have exact counts of how many people die from the flu each year. Flu is so common that not all flu cases are reported, and flu is not always listed on the death certificate. So the CDC uses statistical models, which are periodically revised to make estimates.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it at the 80,000 or what? Or are you making estimates? I mean, none of this makes any sense.
Well,
and then they're talking about 1918 flu pandemics. And I'm just like, these guys are just an absolute idiot.
Well, there's no way they can tell you that it's even flu because they do not do any toxicology. And so they have not discounted flu from gas stove exhaust and vehicle exhaust. They haven't discounted that. So there's absolutely nothing that they can say about the flu in terms of infection. All they're doing is taking your focus away from the possibility that the very real possibility, which is proven by studies, that flu is misdiagnosed exhaust from automobiles, boilers, automobiles. You know,
that's right.
The symptoms of exhaust are the flu. You know. That's official. Most of the chemicals, air pollution chemicals, produce flu symptoms.
Is the same with radiation, Jim? Same with radiation?
Well, radiation,
flu-like symptoms, like Wi-Fi and all that.
I think
stuff?
It produces other symptoms, but it will work. It'll work synergistically with exhaust and all that to help produce flu symptoms. I mean, my experience with being radiated, you know, is that it doesn't come off as the flu exactly. You know, it comes off as nervousness and sneezing. That's the beginning, then backache, and mental fatigue. That's more like what radiation does. You know, rashes on your skin, you know, whereas the air pollution, that produces the flu, you know, flu symptoms. Every time, that's exactly what it does, you know. But you mix them together, and they're a powerful flu symptom producer, you know.
I sent you this email from someone following Jim's talking about satellite tracking. The message was, everyone is being tracked by satellite microwave pulses. This is not a joke. Place your hand firmly on the top back part of your head and hold it for 1 minute. You will feel the microwave pulses. Frequency is 3,600, 3,750 megahertz. The microwaves cause brain damage.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand.
What do you think about this mind stalking and
I was reading that, and they say that the target area is a like a one-inch spot at the top of at the back top of your head. But I don't see how anything could target that spot, you know? How can you, like, shoot a radiation beam from outer space or inner space or whatever from a satellite? How could you shoot a beam that would target the back of your head, you know?
Could it just be some type of weapons or frequencies being put out?
Well, that's what they're like saying, but the whole nature, unless it's a laser... But a laser is not that accurate. It's hard. You can't get a one-inch dot from a satellite, and unless they have a new version of lasers, which is another.
Do you think all this radiation and cell phone towers and 5G and Wi-Fi and everything around us? And you had a good story about going out into the. Might go through that a little bit too if you have time. The going out into the park and how the. A power company's put it under the ground, the cables.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think like all of this is making people, as you said, it's combining to make people flu-y and sick and everything, but it might be sort of making people feel like they're going to go crazy or something? Like, is it
right?
Can it make people go mad? Like it feels like your head's going to be
definitely.
crushed in.
It's a heart attack producer and it's a mental...
Like
a madness thing, yeah.
Yeah, but driving people mad, which would be good for the psychiatry industry, isn't it? When all the drugs and mental
harm. Yeah, right. Well, all kinds of exploitation can occur, but there is, if you say, well, this is being done on purpose to drive people crazy, to talk like that, you really sound like a wacko. But the more this last year, I read some things that gave me a sense that it is true that they are purposely trying to stress you. And just like a chicken farmer wants to stress his chickens in order to get more eggs laid, per hour. That's why they give chemicals to livestock because it increases production. And there's an author named Harari who's like the rage right now. You have to pay $185 just to hear the guy speak in person. I wanted to hear him. He was talking here in Manhattan, and I wanted to go and hear him, ask him some questions. The ticket's $185, So, but this guy, I read his books, and he says he's an insider on a global... social psychology think tanks. He's like an insider guy, PhD, and he said that human beings are managed globally according to agricultural protocols or agricultural principles. Now that sentence, I think, goes over everybody's head, but that's exactly what I've been saying for about the last 15 years, which is that. There is a conscious decision to raise us like cattle, just like they put cattle in a livestock pen just before they go to the slaughterhouse, and you poison them as much as possible in order to force them to gain weight. Same with human beings. They want to stress us as much as possible to raise the human metabolism, the social metabolism, because that causes our lives to go by quicker. We move quicker. We all have a little ADHD. And so all the products of humanity are accelerated. At the same time, you have more disease, more cancer, and more people dying. But they want to strike a balance between disease and higher production, just like any farmer wants to strike a balance between disease and higher production. They do the same thing with humans. We don't get a break because we're human. So... that's why we have so many irrational products that are so toxic when they could easily give you a non-toxic product. You wonder, why are they doing this? It's because they're at the bottom of all of it is these big investors, and they're all hooked up to, to the elite, whatever it is that can influence these things and drive everything towards higher toxicity, There's a lot of benefits. Yeah. There's a lot of benefits to industry when you can poison people. You know, they become more. Yeah. They're more vulnerable. They have more diseases. Disease treatment is considered to be part of the GDP, the gross domestic product. It's considered a sign. High GDP is considered a sign of national health. Which seems strange to me that illness and the treatment of illness would have any, could be conceived to be a, you know, a sign of industrial health. So, but they see medicine as just another industry making money, and if it can make more money from disease, then that raises the GDP, you know.
Of course.
So it's a sick world. And we're really on our own, because they're not gonna. Their whole idea is to make us as sick as possible, up to the point where production begins to drop. Then they'll back off. That's an agricultural principle of modern agriculture. Poison the animal as much as possible to the point where production will drop. So.
Yeah.
That's why they have pesticides. It's not to kill the insects. It's to stress the animal, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, there are exceptions. You know, there are some situations where insecticides do help, but the ecology is so screwed up by insecticides that you then find yourself in a position as a farmer where you don't have any choice except to use insecticides because you don't have any dragonflies to kill the mosquitoes and things like that, you know, because we're in a topsy-turvy world. So that's my speech. Back
yeah,
to you.
It's not a good mix, though, is it?
I mean, no.
You look on the freeways and in the workday and just thousands of people in these cars just, you know, on their phones and they just get ready to pop.
Yeah,
it's not a good mix. I'm just seeing now that people seem so impatient and angry, especially when they're in cars. You know, nowadays.
Right.
We've talked about this before. How you know technology's just become so fast and so overwhelming that people are just so used to getting everything they want through technology this instant, you know? And it just, and especially with kids, it's a real worry because you're seeing young kids now on iPhones and iPads and they're playing all these games. And I noticed all the cartoons now on Netflix, they're just rapid fire, Jim, and color. You know, these cartoons, they're all like, you know, maximum 20 minutes or 15 minutes and it just bang bang like a machine gun of color and rapid fire down the screen. It nearly gives me a seizure looking at it.
Yeah.
And these young boys or girls are watching these new shows and they're quite violent and all the facial features and the eyes are really nasty.
Right.
A nasty look on them as well in these cartoons we picked up.
Well, that's another, it's really amazing.
In the video games as well.
That's another stressor is these crazy games, you know.
And I just find with the young ones now, even young kids, they're so bloody impatient. You know, even they can't sit down. Even turning the TV on, they get impatient. It takes too long for them, you know. And then a movie will come on, they can't even last through the start credits, and they're starting to fidget, and they want the phone and everything like that.
It's like humans are a different species, you know, they're the hyper species, you know. And then you have what I think is normal, where you can actually have a point-by-point conversation with somebody and try to get to the resolve something, you know.
Did you ever see the movie Jim Point Break?
No.
Ever see that movie? An older movie, American one, with Patrick Swayze about the surfers who rob banks. It's got Keanu Reeves and stuff in there, and these surfers they rob all these banks and they put the masks on, they dress up as the ex-presidents.
I remember that.
And in the movie when the FBI is onto them, one of the guys says, I've got the quote here, he says, This was never about the money. This was about us against the system, that system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something. We are here to show those guys that are inching their way along the freeways in their metal coffins that the human spirit is still alive.
Yeah, but
it's a
you
good
know,
comment.
Yeah, but capitalism is so resilient that it can even fight itself and still grow. You know, they you know, it's an amazing thing. The capitalistic thing. It just it's like this big green monster. You know.
You sort of, as you're saying though, it does seem that all these microwave weapons and all this technology, it seems like it's cooking us. It really seems like we're all in a microwave. Seems like the Earth is becoming some kind of open air prison, you know, and it does seem like we're all being farmed. And you do think that because you think, okay, you're allowed to live on your farm. I think it was David Icke or someone said this, you know, you're allowed to live in the compound of your farm and you're allowed to have your food and your water and your life and your work and you go about your day and you're allowed to do all these things. But you venture outside and there's fences there and if you try to go through, you get zapped.
Yeah.
And it's like we live this life and it does seem like we're all being farmed every single day of our lives.
Yeah, we're all being processed 24
that's
hours
right,
a day.
But you think, you know, this is not a good ingredient for human beings. It's like I'm wondering when the population is just going to start. You're going to get pockets of people just snapping.
Well, you know,
and
the
going crazy.
The epidemics
in these cities.
The epidemics are rising like every year. They're just constantly rising. The autism is still going straight up. All kinds of diseases are going up and up and up. And but the thing is, the gullible people are paying $1,000 a month. Every man, woman, and child is paying on the average $1,000 a month for health care. $10,000 a year, so it's like more like $900 a month. That's just incredible. I don't want to spend that much money in my lifetime, $1,000 on a doctor. You know, I don't want to spend anything, and I don't. I don't spend any money. I don't go. People are shocked. You know, I don't have my checkups, you know, but it's statistically proven that people who have medical checkups are in worse health than those
That's
who
right.
don't, you know, or at least the last time I read the record on that, which was quite a while ago, but maybe it's changed, but I don't see how you could possibly be healthier by going to see a doctor, you know.
Wouldn't there be, with like 200 years of vaccinations and what we keep hearing from the government and everything, that vaccines are so needed and to create herd immunity and for our children to be healthy and not have all these so-called diseases and everything. I mean, wouldn't we now in 2018 be looking at a completely healthy population? But I mean, in Sydney alone, you're looking at children's hospitals bursting out the windows with sick children.
Yeah.
The blood cancer alone and brain disease is phenomenal, and the allergies and all the conditions, the asthma, it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing sick kids everywhere.
Well, they've
got these jelly eyes now, you know, and these pasty skin. They're not well, but we shouldn't be seeing this, right, if vaccines work.
Well, they keep claiming that the disease is going down and down and down and down over the decades, down and down. Yet at the same time, we have other stats showing disease going up and up and up and up, but different diseases, you know. It's
that's what these trolls are saying on the Facebook thing. They're saying that, oh, well, okay, like someone gets a flu shot or whatever and they die. But, you know, look at all these thousands and thousands of people in the U.S., for example, what I was just reading out, who died from the flu.
Yeah.
And they should, but they never tell you if these people were vaccinated, because when you look into it, you find out that most of these people who died of the so-called flu were actually vaccinated with the flu shot.
Right.
You know, but there's they're just throwing that out there, and they're basically telling you that, you know, by you being an anti-vaxxer or whatever you are and not wanting people to get this flu shot, then these people are dying because of the anti-vaxxer brigade. Because they weren't vaccinated and now they got the flu and they died.
Yeah.
And it's offering no evidence whatsoever. And that's what I said to this person. It's just good to get up here on social media and just make up whatever you want.
Yeah.
But where's the toxicology reports?
Right.
You know, where's the reports that showed what these people died of?
Yeah.
Where are they? You can't just get up there and show, 800,000 people died.
Yeah, yeah.
80,000 people died, sorry. Oh, the 80,000 people died in America last flu season of the flu. They're right. All dead. Well, where's the report showing what they actually died from and proving conclusively that it was the flu that killed them?
Exactly.
And they don't answer me on that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they just disappear when they run into that argument, you know.
See, I said I don't care about a CNBC.com article. Yeah, 80,000 people dying of the flu. And then this person is directing me to the CDC.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe you ought to grow a brain and go over and check out the CDC. And then they're telling me about these so-called registered flu deaths in Australia. Yeah. And then I go on there and I look at it all and there's nothing there. There's not one speck of evidence whatsoever anywhere to be found.
Yeah.
Just telling you all these thousands of people are dying of the flu. Well, I can get up there and say that any day of the week.
Yeah, but you know that crap is believed by, what, 80, 90% of the people?
They do.
They don't.
Even though the mainstream media tell them that the flu shot doesn't work.
Yeah.
They still believe it.
Yeah, the people will argue, you know, for the flu shot, even if the system changes its mind and tells them that the vaccines are bad. They'll, you know, it's like inertia. You know, there's a huge social inertia. They're so programmed. You can't talk them out of it now, you know.
No, they're in too deep.
Yeah. But it's so sad that the average person has so little ability to critically think and have a patient, you know, analysis of any topic, you know. I begin to feel like there's just another species out there and I'm not part of it, you know. And I feel sad about that, but maybe I'm lucky, you know.
It's insane. There's people on there saying, well, I got the flu shot and I'm fine, you know. Well, who cares? Maybe you are. Good on you. Yeah. I mean, the flu shot works, they tell you. Well, it works because you believe it works.
Yeah. You don't know what the flu is, you know. When you say flu, you don't know what that is. And they're not going to tell, you know.
They think it's a virus, as you said.
Yeah.
Because they're told that on the news.
Yeah.
The media tells them what to think, and that's what they think.
Right.
They're not coming to their own conclusions through critical thinking. They're being told what to think.
They don't know that flu could be just from standard air pollution, you know. And they don't know that's even a possibility, you know. Because that's Yeah.
I was going to ask if you've looked at the interesting case in places like Beijing, because in China, because I'm hearing about such astonishing levels of flu and also terrible pollution over there. I thought it would be like a playground for you to study in. You know,
yeah,
it's all these people are getting these massive epidemics of flus and sicknesses and new illnesses and respiratory illnesses in China. But the evidently it's off the charts, the contamination and pollution in the atmosphere there.
Yeah, well, they blame it on the swine flu, H1N1 in China, right? All those flu diseases.
They always got a name for it.
Yeah.
They got a vaccine as well. Maybe they got a smog vaccine.
Yeah, right. Well, they don't
smog.
Yeah, smog is horrible and it kills, but they don't really link the two. They don't show you the relation between flu, so-called flu, and smog, you know. Yeah.
We're doing all right. We got about what?
We hit the 45 mark here or
Yeah, well, I recorded after you, so I'm on about 38. We'll do a little bit more. Okay. I want to just go around the ultrasound thing, but before I do, I'll just read you out this because interesting. We have in Australia, they're creating new schools for autism. The autism schools are coming, Jim. And so we have this greasy politician here, Liberal MP Katos, calls for Geelong. This is Victoria, Jim. Geelong's first dedicated autism spectrum disorder school, and we're getting one in Queensland as well. We've got autism Queensland schools popping up with the special teachers and everything like that, because there's so many autistic kids in the normal primary and high schools, the teachers aren't coping. So now the autism schools are coming through, and so this is clearly showing some type of epidemic in Australia that we haven't seen here before in regards to autism.
Are these government schools or private?
Yeah, these are actual schools. They'll be like high schools and everything, but all autistic kids. They'll have their uniforms and go along their normal way. Look, I'm going to come out no matter what I say here, I'm going to be insensitive to people.
Yeah.
You know, and I pulled up these mums groups here. This is from the Advisor, and this is a Geelong mum from the same place. They're calling for the school, and they want autism to be accepted.
Right.
And when you read this article, some of the wording she uses about how, you know, she wants it all to be normalized, and she wants, you know, it to be almost us to love autism.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the
amazing.
Some of the milder forms of autism, like Asperger's syndrome, are actually obsessive workers. They're very good workers. They do whatever they're told, and they work obsessively. And so they may be able to do menial tasks. They may be able to, I don't know, even work a cash register. They can work on a computer. It's partly I think why they have this big diversity drive, you know, that everybody's equal and everybody's diverse and every kind of person is wonderful, and because everybody is useful to the labor market, you know, they create a spectrum of labor. And it somehow works in with this autism and ADHD thing, you know, to produce talented workers, you know, who are not going to get paid what they deserve to get paid. But, you know,
would this be connected with the England hypothesis, the real reason behind the autism epidemic? I did a lot of podcasts on this. It was a lady, Christina England, a mother of two severely injured children. She was talking about that they're creating this autistic, or as you said, Asperger's worker drone force in the system, to work for the system. And I've seen it in a lot of places, like as we've talked about this, a lot of places just for big industry places, you know, everything from supermarkets or whatever it may be, have a lot of autistic workers because they do the long hours, they don't complain, they don't take the holidays, they get government payments, so it's cheaper for the businesses to pay them.
Right.
And they seem to be okay with very drone-like tasks all day.
Yeah.
Well, is this what's been created, Jim, an autistic worker drone force?
Well, that's a terminology I had not heard before, but I was using the term ultrasound is like dialed in zombieism. You know, you can dial it in, and at the
through the ultrasound.
Yeah, ultrasound. You know, but all the pollutants and everything work to create this. But more, I guess, you know, more specifically and more obviously, it's ultrasound. You know, it basically fries the child in the womb, and it creates another personality. You know, the people who are damaged at birth, they have less courage, so they're not going to be rebellious. So they'll be a better worker. Because they have less courage, they're not going to explore as much. They're going to be more apt to do what they're told. So I'm totally on board with England's assessment of a worker drone force. Yeah, that's partly what it's about.
Saying here, England hypothesis, autism is an intentional, intentionally done, used to create millions of worker drones, sterile, docile, unable to question the conditions handed to them and their lives, content with boring, repetitive tasks, placid, disposable, and interchangeable. In the short, autists are the deltas and epsilons of the brave new world order toward which we are being herded through intentional social, political, and genetic manipulation consistent with the genocidal aspirations of the globalists and their horrifying Agenda 21 or 2030.
What's her name?
Christina England.
Are you going to have her on your talk show?
Yeah, Dr. Rima Labo took over a lot of this thing, but I haven't spoken to the lady herself, but she's quite social, I think, but she's coming from a vaccine standpoint there, but it's still very interesting.
Well, you know how they create zombies in Haiti, right?
I've Yes, do tell me.
It's the same. It's the same thing as administering ultrasound to a baby. They take a person, and they basically you can create your own personal slave. A witch doctor can do that. They take a person and they shock them with poisons. You know, they have all these jungle poisons they can use, and then they bury the person alive. You know, in the ground. You know, like a spider will paralyze its victim and then wrap it up. Well, they can paralyze a person so he's still alive, but hardly breathing. And then they bury him in the ground, and they do stuff like that to just totally traumatize the person. And they create, and then they unbury them, and they create a zombie. You know, that's very obedient. And that's exactly what ultrasound does when you think about it, you know.
How do they dial in that different levels they would want? Is it the same? Would it be the same level for the entire population, wouldn't it?
Are you talking about for ultrasound?
Saying they can dial in that.
I'm saying it's not dialed in, but they have a dial on the machine, and they are always playing with the threshold of damage, the threshold of risk, right? They don't want too much, but they want... They'll never say they want a little bit of risk, but that's the effect of what they're doing, you know. But the whole science and ongoing discussion in the mainstream about ultrasound risk is all about what's too much, what's too little, you know, compared to the benefit versus the risk. The benefit of knowing that your baby's okay in your womb, and the risk of maybe burning that child alive in the womb. You know, they go back and forth, you know, what's the balance? And this is all controlled by a dial, you know, on the ultrasound machine, or a digital button or something anyway. But that's why I say it's dialed in. You're dialing in the amount of ultrasound, you know, you're dialing in the zombieism. It's dialed in zombieism, you know.
You think this ultrasound damage is a catastrophic thing? You think it's I called the last podcast the quiet epidemic, in regards to the Gardasil vaccination, but that was just in regards to that. But this ultrasound does seem like a quiet epidemic. Do you think it's just like a consequence of industrial technology because it makes lives easier and better for women, you know, to see their baby and everything. But what do you think? There's something. Is this done? I know that the manufacturers of the machines wouldn't know this, and down to the doctors and the people using it. But is there a dark intent behind the ultrasound technology?
Well, I'm saying,
or do you think it's
just
a consequence of that.
That at some level they obviously must know how damaging it is, because my book has all these studies where most of the science is saying it's damaging. You talk to any ultrasound scientist, I believe. Well, I don't want to draw any scientists into this, but it is just clearly and obviously dangerous. There's no way they cannot just be consciously covering it up. That's why you have the anti-vaccine argument so loud. It drowns out the topic of ultrasound. And which is really, really at the base of it. Even the vaxxed film, as it tries to tell you that vaccines are bad, their own interviews of experts and of mothers will tell you that it wasn't the vaccine, it was the antibiotic, which is exactly according to my synergy theory. It's the antibiotic in the vaccine, and it's the antibiotics separately, working synergistically with the original ultrasound damage that creates the vulnerabilities to the antibiotics, you know. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Jim, to think that they're just dialing out these drone babies out of their mother's stomachs, you know. They're just sending them down river of life. Damaged as a drone to work for the system, you know, probably in a new world order system incoming, where we won't be paid and You know, yeah. Everything we do will be controlled by the state and these kind of jobs working for them. I guess it's like working in prison making number plates, you know, just these drone work that we have to do to maintain the order and maintain their system, keep them up on top.
Yeah. Well, you know, about 13% of teenagers have a chronic condition, you know, and most of this is autism or ADHD or neurodevelopmental delay, you know. So that's really a tangible, diagnosed, heavy, you know, neurological problem, you know, ADHD and ultrasound. This is like 13%. So then you figure, okay, that's what's obvious and diagnosed. Now, you can probably triple that and say that this is the undiagnosed, milder versions of this stuff, or sort of a hidden deniability between doctors and parents who don't want to really start talking about their son with a label autism. You know, they want to feel this hope, or they want to deny that it's a problem. You know, so chronic disease is rampant.
On your Quora, you answered that question that I was asking you, the arthritis epidemic, because there is, that's in the media now. I was asking you about the new arthritis epidemic. They're saying even 20 and 30-year-olds are getting their bones full of arthritis now. And Janice Barcelo mentioned ultrasound technology burning the bones. And you were talking, Jim, about this heat being the same as the surface of the sun. People would laugh at that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Townsend letter wouldn't allow me to put that in my article on ultrasound, which they published, because it just blew their minds. But this is a well-established fact of ultrasound, that it creates these little bubbles, and it gets really absurd. When these bubbles pop, they create a temperature, a very quick temperature that, you know, that is 5,000 degrees centigrade, you know, the temperature of the surface of the sun. But worse than that, the core of these bubbles is the same temperature as the core of a star, which is 14 million degrees. I mean, it's so ridiculous when you talk about this. It's like something's happening. These are very brief, nanosecond, sub-nanosecond temperatures that are at the molecular level. You know, the intermolecular level is compounds break and reform, you know. But it seems to me this is an ideal, ultrasound is an ideal method to create damage deep in the molecular structure, in the sub, almost maybe subatomic level, so that, you know, there's different layers of the physical world that we can look at. You know, we have these obvious physical world, and then you go into the smaller objects, and you actually have a different physicality happening. And then you go to molecular objects, you have a different level, and then you go to nuclear objects, and you have a different level of a universe, you know. And then you go to sub-nuclear objects, you know, and ultrasound can affect all these things and destroy them and screw them up. So a child can look perfectly normal, but when you go deep into his micro and nano structure, he's destroyed. So it's really a soul killer. Its intent is to be a soul killer. You want a person with all his capability, but his one is soul gone. You want robots.
Soul killing.
Yeah, it's a soul killing machine. Because a child can look perfect. And even act,
that's right,
act
perfect. Yeah, perfectly healthy.
They can even act perfect, but they're missing the soul. They're lacking the depth of character, the intelligence that you really want.
This is the Asperger's autistic kind of behavior then.
Yeah, that's one example, but it could be even more insidious, where you would not be able to even give them a label of disease. They may even outperform. One of the funny things about ultrasound is a lot of epidemiological studies find that children who have had ultrasound have higher reading scores in their earlier years. And this, I think it's because they're a little ADHD. And I also think it's because a normal child doesn't want to read. He wants to play. You know, he just wants to get out and play. He don't want to sit around with a book, you know, reading propaganda, you know, about spot running and all this junk. But the slightly damaged child is going to see a book as a safe place to go. He's going to see reading as a safe place to go. It's a little antisocial, reading. It's very antisocial, you know. So this fits into the definition of autism as an antisocial disease, because it's autistic. It's all about yourself rather than others. And that's what, you know, if you came from outer space and you were an alien, right, a superior alien, and you looked at human beings and you see them walking around with a book in their face, you go, these people are crazy, you know. You know, reading is a disease, you know. I'm joking, but I'm not joking, you know, because I'm trying to explain why children exposed to ultrasound would have higher reading scores. And I'm saying it's at the age when they should have poor reading scores, you could say that reading's a pathology. The interest in reading is a pathological symptom in a young child, you know.
Yeah. So these kids that come out after ultrasound in the normal package, and then they're being so damaged after being vaccinated, are the vaccines acting as like a detonation to the pre-existing damage?
Is it like
a detonator going off when they get an MMR vaccine or something, and they just get, some of them get so badly damaged and such bad autism or...
Yeah, okay, so vaccines have antibiotics in them. They are poisonous, right? Now, it's been proven that ultrasound at a low level can create a synergistic vulnerability to the subsequent application of antibiotics, raising the effectiveness, the toxic effectiveness of that antibiotic by a factor of 100. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's ultrasound sets up the vulnerability by creating permanent cell membrane permeability so that any poison can get right through the cell membrane at a factor of 100-fold better than if there was no ultrasound. So that's why we're having all these diseases. And I answered your question, whatever the question was. Uh-oh, I forgot to take my ultrasound treatment this morning.
Yeah, it's yeah.
You know, I'm sure, you know, they do have these things, you know, where it's almost like, you know, okay, you stick your head in a box and push a button and you get your ultrasound treatment, you know. The computer's like that. It's like, you know, they don't shield these devices. So it's a real crazy thing.
Yeah. Have you seen a technology upgrade with ultrasound? I'm seeing driving around just a few of these X-ray type new clinics popping up where they just seem to be doing everything with ultrasound, and they're also incorporating, of course, these new types of procedures, machines to deal with, people who are terminally ill, or chemotherapy and stuff like that. I guess the old chemo is so toxic now, they're finally admitting it, but... you know, in regards to chemo and people who are fighting different types of cancers or terminally ill, whatever it may be, and, you know, they seem to be able to go to these one places for anything from that or X-rays or just the general ultrasound for pregnancy. What are you seeing with these machines? Have you been looking into them? I'm thinking that these types of ultrasound machines are going to go further and further, because we were talking with you about some women now in Hollywood, for example, are using... ultrasound technology for a type of plastic surgery. You were saying it turns them into ghouls.
A woman,
I'm thinking they're going to be using it for everything soon. Like,
Well, yeah.
These ultrasound.
Yeah.
What I'm basically asking you, Jim, is where's the limits of these ultrasound machines and what they can't do with them?
Well, there seems to be no limit to human gullibility. So they're pressing on and pressing on with more and more horrible things. This woman who had ultrasound in order to tighten up the skin of her face, you know, like she didn't even need it, she told me. But she just thought, oh, I'll go in there and get my face tightened up, you know, make myself look like I'm 21. And even though she's really 31, you know. And the thing is, it actually made her like Michael Jackson a little worse, you know. And so she had more of it. And she got worse and she had more of it. And pretty soon, she looks like a ghoul from hell. And she freaked out. And she went to plastic surgeons, and they made her worse. And so she had to go to another plastic surgeon to fix the last. It's just a Michael Jackson syndrome thing, you know. And it's just so incredibly horrible. It's like barbecuing the skin. This ultrasound skin therapy, you know. And apparently, it fries the lower. It actually they focus it so that it doesn't burn the top of your skin, but it sort of fries the layers of skin under your top layer, and that causes the skin to shrink, and the wrinkles go away. That's a theory, right? And you know, apparently, like with a lot of medical stuff, it's not easy to sue these companies or bring justice or publicity. The publicity's not out there. You know, it's just these independent. I mean, you would never know about it if this woman had not written me an email pointing me to her website. Right. You know, she has like a collection of these horribly ugly women that they're actually beautiful women, but they destroyed their faces, you know, with this ultrasound treatment. And then you have athletes who are using ultrasound every time they get an inflamed tendon or something. They have ultrasound treatment, you know, these trainers.
That's right. That's these clinics and sports clinics and stuff. They go there for the ultrasound to check a muscle.
Right. But I imagine imagine this is, you know, going to be a disaster, you know, in the long run for these athletes. And, you know, Dr. Milham, who's an EMF expert, former epidemiologist for New York State, he says that the electrical heat treatment that they were using on athletes for the last, I guess, 70 years, he believes that's what caused the death of Lou Gehrig, you know, and caused the permanent back injury and all kinds of injuries. Like, you know, they're talking a lot about football players having an epidemic of injuries. Well, it could be because of the ultrasound that the trainers are using, you know. It's almost comical, you know, because, you know, you look at the Michael Jackson thing, you know, where he believes so much in the modern space age technology of doctors and all that he could be made more beautiful by having his face chopped up, you know. And this is what everybody's, this is what the medical system plays upon, is this belief that people have swaddled, that higher technology means something better. You know, it doesn't. You probably can, in many ways, we're better off as cavemen and cavewomen, you know. I think they had a 16-hour work week, the cavemen, you know. Except, you know what, they didn't understand ventilation of fire, so they would probably go in a cave, light a fire, get nice and warm, poison the hell out of themselves and get the flu. And that's why they do find evidence of flu symptoms among cave people, you know, prehistoric people when they...
Of course.
Yeah. So...
It's absolutely true. I mean, yeah, had my own battles, but ever since, particularly this winter, it's still raining and cold here, but we've done many shows on it, but since I got rid of that gas heater... And really worked hard around the place, just sort of, you know, minimizing any exposure to that stuff. But I took it all out, you know, even on cold days. I'm walking around with bare feet on, you know, bare feet. T-shirt on. I don't get, you know, I just haven't had any kind of cold symptoms this year at all.
Great. And your wife
and
is...
And last year I did, but I had the gas heater on.
Yeah. And your wife your wife is on board now with this new...
Yeah, everyone's on board. Because our little one had ongoing coughs, and that's unlike her at all. That's not like her, and that just kept going, and I just thought, this is it, I had enough.
Right.
It has been some cold winters here, dry and cold, but my wife suffers more than me. I'm pretty good with a cold. I walk around in a T-shirt, doesn't bother me, but she wanted that, and, you know, that's marriage, Jim. It's compromise. But we finally got rid of all this stuff, and... just warm up the old-fashioned way, and I just rug up if I need to. But I'm telling you how much better I feel after getting rid of just a gas heater. I think that was bloody poisoning all of
it. It is the worst thing in the world, and I realize...
It's the worst thing.
I realize it's a major conspiracy. When you start being aware, when you look at the older films from the 30s and the 40s, whenever they show a gas stove on how it's used, or fireplace, you realize, whoa, these people are totally aware of the dangers of the stove, and this is they're trying to get you closer to that fire. They want you to close your windows, close the doors, and light that fire, you know, and have a cozy time. You know, it's a very, and die for the medical system, you know. It's very obvious that it's almost like 9/11, the whole thing about the gas stove. You know, it's very freaky.
We do have gas, a lot of natural gas in Australia, obviously. It's a big gas country, so it tends to be quite cheap. If you're looking at electricity prices and stuff like that.
Right.
So you put on your gas heater and gas. We do have gas stove here. We've got all the gas output, so the connection's here. So I put it on, you know.
Right.
And I do cook. I don't generally eat out a lot. I like to buy everything and cook it at home on the stove. And
right.
It's just one of those things. But still, family, friends, people getting the flu, they won't listen. They just won't listen to it. But
If you can go to electric cooking, that would be safer, you know.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, I guess, I know it's not the best, but if people can get a new modern air conditioning system in, I'm not saying they're good, I'm just saying that general air conditioning, heating the house is going to be better than the gas. I just didn't realize it, and I have friends who have the gas heaters as well. I mean, it's something you grow up with in Australia.
I
just never really thought of it that way. But coming in from outside and walking inside, the house smells of gas and people are coughing. You don't have the flu virus.
Yeah.
You're poisoned.
Right.
But
right.
It's crazy. As a human being, you don't realize that.
I think it's amazing that they sell a gas heater, you know, and they...
Huge amounts of them here. Yeah. Huge amounts of these heaters. They're about $800, some of them.
And they expect people to turn these things on with the windows closed.
You know? That's how it goes, Jim.
Yeah. But, you know, your wife, is she wearing long johns and all that?
Yeah, now we are. And we got, the thermals for the little one.
Right. Those are amazing.
From the outdoor camping store and stuff.
They work great, you know.
The UGG boots, but I just don't get cold, and I feel bad, you know, because the cold doesn't bother me, but I've got these people here living in under the roof that are suffering.
Right.
And so I wanted to do something. This is going back, it's just having a monster in the house, man. It's having it's like having a predator in the house preying on you.
So what are you talking? You're talking about the natural gas heater?
Yeah, it's a predator in your house.
The room, but you got rid of that.
TV and it's,
you got rid of it, right?
Yeah, I did. I did last year.
Right.
I'm saying this year I've been much, much better. I haven't had any flu symptoms, but I've had the flu symptoms each winter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I almost died, man, from a stove. This is how I learned this whole thing. It was about maybe 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I started getting pus and blood coming out of my ear at night. And... I realized eventually, it took me a long time to figure this out. It took me 3 years to figure out what was causing this. But I refused to go to the doctor because I know he's just going to give me injections of garbage and kill me, maybe. But I bought a CO2 meter in order to monitor the evidence of fire or exhaust, right? And this cost me like $150. And I ran it in conjunction with my computer. So it created a 24/7 log of all the CO2 content in the apartment. And I noticed that the CO2 was higher when I was not in the apartment. And I thought, well, how can that be, you know? and it turned out that the stove pilot lights was poisoning the apartment. 30% of a typical person's stove fire comes from the pilot lights. You know, pilot lights are going out of style. They use electric ignition now. But we had an older stove, and it was just poisoning. The older stoves were poisoning people like crazy, you know, mm-hmm. from the pilot light. That's just an ongoing fire in your house when you have your windows closed on a winter night. That's why in winter you have the flu, because people close their windows. And they have stoves and pilot lights burning. You know, you go in your house, it's freezing cold, there's snow outside, you go, ooh, let's cook a big hot soup, you know, or make some hot chocolate. And then you wake up the next morning with a heavy flu. It's just because you poisoned yourself, you know. So we're going to wrap it up?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, I guess people who live in really cold parts of the U.S. in winter and stuff will be like, what can you say to them, you know?
Well, they're doomed.
People live in Alaska and Canada who have to have heating.
Well, if you have proper ventilation, there's a way of getting heat without having the fire inside your house, you know. You know, if you run the heat through the gas and the exhaust through pipes so that it is vented high above your house and you're okay.
You know? That's right.
But you want to radiate the heat through metal radiation into the house, but the fire and goes out. But it's really very common for the ventilation not to be properly set up, especially in the case of a gas stove. They don't even have ventilation on a gas stove. That's the absurd thing about it. Most of them
gas heaters as well. You just buy it and turn it on.
Yeah. And a gas stove is the same thing as a gas heater. They actually warn people here in New York about gas heaters, but they don't warn them about the gas stove. So that's obvious conspiracy, you know.
I wonder why you haven't written a book on this, Jim, as well. You know, you got the DDT, the ultrasound. What about the flu and the
well,
heating?
Well, I have a ton of information on the flu, which I do want to stick into a book and publish it. You know, I did these studies of flu epidemics. Well, the school flu epidemics, I did a lot of study of that. Schools are always situated right next to an expressway so that parents can drop the kids off, pick them up. It's very common, you know, they'll be near a center of high traffic availability because you got thousands of kids in the school, right? You got to get them to and out of the school. So I noticed that whenever there's a school epidemic, that there is exhaust coming from the expressway at a slow speed. This is just a standard thing, you know. And, you know, that's just one example, you know. That's why,
Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? But lots of people get sick. I sent you one from Australia. Like, over 100 kids got sick at the one time. And you said that it'd be like popcorn if they had the flu popping, going at different times.
Right. But it all happened at one time.
When a couple of hundred people get the so-called flu at the one time and there's no environmental toxicology reports done, they're just telling you, oh, they all got the flu, everyone go home, we've got to clean up and sanitize everything.
Yeah.
But that doesn't act like a flu at all.
It's obviously a cover-up if all they do is check for a germ, for a virus, you know.
That's right. You actually, you were talking in an email just quickly before we go, you were saying there was a school case or a nursing home where the air conditioning fluids mixed with the water or something?
Yeah.
In New York?
Well, that's my deduction because they say the water turned red. And I know in the air conditioning system, the fluids are red just to alert people.
Was that a school?
Huh?
Was that a school?
It was a school, yeah. They had a big epidemic.
In New York. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the water, drinking water turned red. And I know that the air conditioning fluids will be red in order to alert people of these contaminations, right? And there's a new technology where they mix the drinking water. They don't physically mix it. They try to use a heat exchanger so that air conditioning and the hot water, so they get the heat from the air conditioning output to heat the water, you know. And then it gets into the cooking and the cafeteria and this and that. because if they have a leak in the system, these heat exchangers, then this air conditioning fluid will get into the water, you know. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened in the case of this this epidemic. The odd thing about it is that the article in the New York Times about this this discharge of students from the school was merely a reprint of a letter from the principal. In other words, it was such a hot topic that the New York Times couldn't even write about it. All they could do is reproduce a letter from the principal, you know. So that's the way it is.
That's right. But they've all got the flu.
Yeah. They flew the coop.
No, I mean, yeah, we have a saying in Australia, Jim, for people like me, they say you live in a tent. And that's what I do. I've always got everything open because I'm right on the coast here and I've just always got the cold sea breeze flying through the windows and in the house.
Wow.
I'm always trying to breathe in the nice clean air, you know?
Wow.
Nice fresh air as best I can. I definitely feel better.
Yeah,
Than shutting everything up and putting the heating on and everything, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the first thing people do. I've asked them, I check, I always do, and it's the first thing I do. They think I'm absolutely out of my mind.
Yeah, but you're healthy.
Because they're like, they come here and it's not a nice warm home, you know? It's like pretty cold.
Yeah.
But I think this guy's a little bit of a nutcase.
Well, if you can...
That's the first thing they do. They go home and warm up and shut all the windows and doors and everything.
If you can have an external heat exchanger or heat pump, then you'd probably be okay, you know, right?
Yeah.
You know, if it's external to the house, but it runs the heat into the house, you know?
Mm-hmm. As I said, I found the aircon okay, the modern aircon system, just on eco, kind of just lightly will puff enough kind of warm air if you do need it. But
and that's all electric?
Yeah. It's a aircon's electric, no gas. Yeah,
it's not a gas.
Seems to be,
yeah,
not gas. No.
Yeah. Okay.
But as I said, gas is a big one in Australia, and it's quite affordable for people.
Yeah.
Australian gas is one of those things, so a lot of people would use it. For sure they would, yeah.
You know,
very common.
My relatives, they live in the mountains of Arizona, you know, so I go to visit them every year, and I notice that out of nowhere there'd be a helicopter hauling people out of this little town in the mountains, and I'm thinking, what the hell? You know, to a hospital, you know? You know, like, what the hell could be wrong, people, that they need to be emergency to a hospital, you know, out of this beautiful, beautiful, pristine, environmentally safe place. And I realized, well, wait, it's these gas stoves, you know, and
just blasting.
Yeah.
There's people choking inside.
Yeah.
And then keeling over on the floor.
A friend of mine, who I didn't know her real well, but we had some intense conversations because she's a midwife. She died a couple of years ago after a long period of chronic illness and heavy rashes. And I visited her home just to see what the environment was, to figure out how she died. And I found she had these big fireplaces. You know, she had a beautiful home with big fireplaces. And, you know, these fireplaces were just sitting there open, you know, and black. And it was almost pretty obvious that they were a factor, you know, but I think what really was a factor is that she had a smart meter right next to her bed, you know.
Next to the pillow where your head is.
She was an environmentalist, but I, like many environmentalists, they're unaware of the EMF factor, you know. And, you know, a smart meter was like right by her feet. And
cooking your brain every night.
Well, by her feet, and her main symptom was rashes on the legs, you know, before she died, you know. She had these huge carbuncly rashes on her legs.
So what's that a sign of in regards to smart meter technology?
What?
What's that a sign of if we're looking at smart meter there on her bedroom wall if she's getting rashes?
We better sign off, right?
No, I was asking you, what does that mean, the rashes and the smart meter?
Oh, well, that's one of the prime symptoms of electrical radiation.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Is rashes, skin rashes. Skin rashes, backaches, nervousness, sneezing.
You mean lower backache? Nervy backache?
Yeah, backache is a real electrical exposure type of symptom.
That's right. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. You're right there.
So I think we got enough for two shows now. We'll just split this one in half.
That's all right.
All right for you. Gee, you're a machine, man.
That's all right. We've done well.
Yeah.
We've done well. All right, we'll plug out. We'll plug out, and there's always so much to cover. I love talking to you because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
And that's why I really do enjoy it. All good.
Yeah, same here. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. You know, I do run out of gas though, unlike you. You know.
No, I do as well. That's all right. I'm just.
Well, when's the last time you ran out of gas? Come on.
Yeah, God, I don't know. It's all good. I don't know. I'll go and have a cold shower. You know.
Okay.
My wife thinks I'm a little bit crazy.
Sure.
But I will say that. I'll put this up as soon as we can, and also for folks to go to your website, Harvoa. .org, HARVOA.org, and also if you're on Facebook, go to Harvoa over there, because I just recently patched it up and put a whole lot of interesting articles up there, and podcasts that we've done, Jim, as well. So it's a great Facebook page for people who just want to go and have a look at a lot of information in regards to what we're talking about now and ultrasound and everything. But if you're not on there, just grab the podcast and enjoy. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Jim West.
Thank you.
And we'll plug in again soon, hopefully. When you're comfortable, just chew the fat.
That's right.
Well, it's good as well, isn't it?
I'll catch you next time, Adam. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
You know?
All right. Hasta luego.